Observing what stands written in the law of the Lord, that every firstborn male must be consecrated to the Lord, and also to offer in sacrifice, in accordance with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now in Jerusalem there was a man named Simeon. He was an upright and devout man. He looked forward to Israel's comforting, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death until he had set eyes on the Christ of the Lord. Prompted by the Spirit, he came to the temple. And when the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him what the law required, Simeon took him into his arms and blessed God. And he said, "Now, Master, you can let your servant go in peace, just as you promised, because my eyes have seen the salvation which you have prepared for all the nations to see, a light to enlighten the pagans and the glory of your people Israel." As the child's father and mother stood there, wondering at the things that were being said of him, Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, "You see this child, he is destined for the fall and for the rising of many in Israel, destined to be a sign that is rejected, and a sword will pierce your own soul too, so that the secret thoughts of many may be laid bare." There was a prophetess also, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was well on in years, her days of girlhood over. She had been married for 7 years before becoming a widow. She was now 84 years old, and never left the temple, serving God night and day with fasting and prayer. She came by just at that moment and began to praise God, and she spoke of the child to all who looked forward to the deliverance of Jerusalem. When they had done everything the Lord required, they went back to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. Meanwhile, the child grew to maturity, and he was filled with wisdom, and God's favor was with him. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
I'd just like to offer you three thoughts, one from each of the readings. Firstly, from the prophet Malachi, who has the honor and privilege of closing the Old Testament, because he is the shortest of the minor prophets in terms of chapters. I can't say how big he was in real life. But he calls at the end of the Old Testament for the purification of the temple. Not because of any human motive, but because it is the place where the people are to meet their God. And it is very clear to Malachi that this has not happened yet. But he says, when the day of the Lord comes, he will suddenly enter this temple. The Lord you are seeking will suddenly appear. Now, that promise is what we are celebrating today in its fulfillment, that the Lord enters his temple, and all our waiting is brought to its end. And so, in a way, we are saying that Jesus comes to take possession of the temple. And the old Song of Ascents, which we used as our gospel acclamation today, calling for the gates to go higher, has a special relevance today. Because it was sung as the Ark of the Covenant was carried into the temple. The King of Glory entering means that the gates must be raised. And the Jerusalem temple was very great. You should never think that it was a tin pot structure or something which was unworthy of the faith of the Jews, which is one of the great faiths of human history. Indeed, we should say that the Jewish faith dominates human history, particularly in its greatest believer, our Lord Jesus Christ. And so, although perhaps the doors didn't leap up another space when this little child was carried in, yet the temple would have to grow greater, because the light which he came to bring was not just for the Jews, not just, as the angel said over his birth, the good news which is for all the people, but something more, a light to enlighten Gentiles to be the glory of Israel, your people. So this light is not to shine only for the Hebrews who came to worship in the temple, but for all the world. And so on this day we have to think of a temple which grows greater, not only for Jewish people, but for us too. If the first reading teaches us that Jesus comes to be with us in our faith, in our praying, the second reading teaches us that he's come to be beside us in our humanity. He shared in our blood and flesh, so that by his dying he could take away the power of the devil who had power over death, and set free all those who had been held in slavery all their lives by the fear of death. Jesus comes in, a little child, and we should think of his incompleteness, his poverty, the little that he knew at that moment, as he rested in the arms of his father Joseph and in the care of his mother. All he knew was that they were there to look after him, 40 days old. And all the learning that lay ahead of him, which this coming to the temple for the first time is a kind of foundation stone for him. He had to learn enough to be able to teach the world how to pray, how to journey to God the Father. And his main teachers are already there with him, bringing him to the temple. They have given him his human flesh, and in it he will learn the love of God. Essential that he should in this way become completely like us, so that he should be a compassionate, trustworthy high priest. So to the gospel itself. There are some very old people here, as well as a very young one. And this meeting is very important, symbolic, because it's the Old Testament that is coming to meet Jesus as he comes to the temple. And this faithful Jewish man, Christian tradition seems to want to turn him into a priest. It doesn't say he is. Even though he blesses people, it doesn't mean that he was an official. He was simply a man who looked forward to the comforting of Israel, and a man who was led by the Holy Spirit. And in the Old Testament, very often those phrases denote a prophet. And so he comes as a prophet to the temple, and he alone sees in this little child the light of the world blazing before him. That's the insight which the Holy Spirit has given him. And in the name of all the Old Testament and all the prophets, He sings his great canticle, which is passed into the church's liturgy as the night prayer in the office, Nunc Dimittis. Now I am ready to go in peace, because my eyes have seen your light. His mother and father have simply come to do everything the law of God requires. They can have little notion of what this child will do to fulfill the law of God. But Simeon, with his spiritual insight, sees and warns them in the most mystical way. This child is destined for the fall and the rising of many, and destined to be a sign that is rejected. The cross is already present. Just think of the role of the temple in the story of the Passion. Jesus will fulfill that first reading in practical fact by going into the temple, entering it with the people saluting him as the son of David, and cleansing it of all that he considers unworthy. It is written, my house shall be a house of prayer for all the nations, and the zeal of your house will devour me. And then they will ask him his authority for acting like that, and then they will conspire to bring about his death, because it represents a claim too great for their religious faith to take it. That the Son of God has come in human flesh is too much for them, and they must snuff out his mission. And so he will become the trustworthy high priest who offers himself in this way. And in his dying, the veil of this temple will be torn from top to bottom as a sign that the vocation of the old temple is over and that the new temple in Jesus' body is a temple for all mankind. A temple whose gates have grown higher, great enough to embrace the world. For us, one thought about the church. Our church is called Catholic, universal, because it welcomes and calls to all mankind to enter. We must build a greater church than the one we're living in. We must make the church large enough, loving enough, forgiving enough, and eloquent enough in the light of the gospel to call mankind to Christ, the light for all the nations to see, the glory of the people of God.